listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Playa, give me some brew and I might just chill, but I'm the type that like to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spitlings when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the S-T-D-I-T-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are live.
Yes,
on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Which means good things, like we're recapping Game of Thrones.
I say wrong show.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be recapping that soon too, but not right now.
Recapping Game of Thrones today, and we have a guest today via Crowdcast, which is our boo, Nick mm-hmm. Jew from the What's the Tea podcast. What's going on, Nick Jew?
Hi, everybody.
Hey, good to finally have you back on the show and to see you virtually.
Yes.
Again, we appreciate you coming through.
First of all, giving honor to God, the old gods and the new, the Lord of light and the seven. And I thank y'all very much for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too, man. And I know, like, we've just been doing down and dirty, like getting into the recap, and we're gonna do that again today. But I just wanted to start off by asking you, like, what do you think of the season so far? 4 episodes in, 2 episodes left. We know we're getting to the end. What do you think so far of season 8?
This might be controversial, but I like it.
Very controversial on the internet these days.
I like it a lot. I think this, they've been hitting us in different ways, but all good ways. Like that one episode where everybody was reuniting and dying and having sex and stuff. I'm like, oh, this, I cried 3-4 times. And then we had like an intense battle. Like it just, it's been a really good season so far to me.
Yeah. Karen, what do you think so far?
Oh, I've been having a ball. The show is called Death, so I expect everybody to eventually die. I don't know who's gonna get the throne. That's why I thought the Night King's gonna get the throne, because I was like, oh, the show is called Game of Death.
For me personally, I've been loving this season. I really like most, like pretty much every season, but I actually like these, and once again, I know it's controversial, I like these fed up seasons.
Me too.
Okay. Me too. I'm grown. I'm 40. I don't have enough time. Okay. Shit is taking too long. Like,
come on.
People acting like they're not giving us an hour and a half movie length episodes every week. I mean, look, 1 hour 20 minutes to wrap this shit up. Let's go. I don't have time to watch these motherfuckers walk Westeros and King's Road and shit. Like, no, just get there. Like, I just want to see dragons take off, dragons land. I want to see boats take off, boats land. Like, I feel like I'm in a very, small group, or maybe just the people that complain are the loudest people, but I feel like I've been in a very small group this season of like, no, get this shit on the road. I want ravens
to move like emails and texts. What the hell is this?
Right. I'd be happy when they know some shit already. Well, I'll be like, oh, who gonna tell Varys? And the next thing Varys be like, listen, so we know that Jon is the king. I'm like, okay, cool.
We eight seasons in. I don't need to know how long the raven travels in real time. Just send the text.
Right.
Let's go.
Right, I think people are kind of sad that it's ending and it's coming out in other ways. Like, they're really just sad that it's about to be over.
Right.
And they don't want to say that, so instead it's like, they're messing up the story. But it's like, there literally is just not time, y'all. It's just not time. We gotta wrap it up, okay?
No, they could have got that damn Starbucks cup. However.
Oh, yes.
That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. That Starbucks cup was sitting there with all kind of audacity, just sitting there being well lit. I was like, no!
I'm low key.
That cup was like, bitch, you forgot about me.
Last week they was on Twitter like, you need to address your cheap ass little screens. That's why you can't see shit. And then everybody adjusted that shit. We was like, it's Starbucks cup? Is that a nigga in jeans? I think it's a nigga wearing jeans in the back.
Is that a shadow? Right. That's a cameraman?
Like, somebody was watching TV in one scene. I was like, what is going on? I'm going to turn my shit to the old settings. I don't need to see all this.
Sansa was on the phone.
Yeah. Like, hold on, girl. Let me call you back. Hit this bitch call. And then she was looking at Danny. But we'll get into episode 8. The episode was called The Last of the Starks. And Oh yeah, let me play the theme song. Got a jam real quick. A bop every time.
Oh, I love the drums.
Yeah. So before we start, how'd y'all think about, what'd you think about this specific episode in general, Karen?
Oh, I loved it. I did. I 100. I give it 100. All the stars.
All right. What about you, Nick Jew?
I loved it.
Yeah. For me, especially watching it the second time, it did feel a little like slow because of all the talking, you know, but this is kind of what they have to do after you have a big ass fight. Like, you can't go from fight
and
to
also
fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it seems slow having seen the end of it, because before you knew that there was some action that happens, like towards the, there's 20 minutes left when the big action scene happens. I was expecting another all talking episode. We got a lot of resolution to do after this big fight. Hella people have died. I thought they were just going to spend this whole episode on exposition, and then we got action too.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we did get a little something, you know, it broke us off a little something. We wasn't expecting it. But yeah, like I said, the first time I watched it, I think, there was just so much happening because every scene was like, this scene matters and this scene matters and this scene matters, because all the scenes matter now. But yeah, it was, you know, like, I'm watching it again, I was like, oh yeah, I guess it was a lot of talking, you know. But anyway, well acted talking, and there's something to be said for that. So let's get into the recap, guys. Let me get to these points. First things first, guys, we had to start out on a sad note, of course, because we gotta bury all the bodies, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody died.
Yes, they did.
And they was pouring out a little something, a little 40 for everybody. We went through the little montage of everybody. I gotta dedicate a song to the mass funeral, of course.
Come on. This song's dedicated. Hey. My homie in that gangsta lane. Why'd you have to go so soon? It seems like yesterday. Hey, keep your memory alive
like
a homie should.
A lifetime of memories going down the drain.
I'd like to keep stepping in,
but I can't give back the pain. 42, your memory. Take a drink and I start to think, and I know that one day soon we will be hanging out. This is for my homies. That's right.
This is for my homies.
Well,
see you
when I get there in that gangsta lean. Oh man, rest in peace to Jorah.
Damn.
That he got laid finally by the Khaleesi
to rest.
The only way
laid
he was
to rest,
the only way he was ever getting laid by the Khaleesi. And then Sansa cried over Theon and put a little wolf like icon pin,
yeah,
over his
she
chest.
Was like, I just got him back.
Yeah. We see Ghost ears all fucked up. John gave a speech like, time to honor the dead, and you know, light the bodies on fire, and I was kind of surprised they burned the bodies, because with the Night King dead, I thought they would be like, we straight now, we don't gotta burn the bodies, but it's probably quicker than burying everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In that snow. And then John lit Lyanna on fire, Sam lit Ed on fire, Arya lit Beric on fire, and Dany lit Jorah on fire. And then Dany and John had a real awkward look, and she was looking at him like, ew, you want the throne. He was looking at her like, ew, you my auntie. And then they had dinner inside, and y'all, the dinner was so awkward when it started. Like, it was so quiet.
It was like everybody was, they was all quiet. They probably just really had a bad taste in their mouth because it smelled like dead people. Like, probably, maybe nobody was hungry.
Yeah. And so, you got to think about the time frame they was in and shit like that. You know, Otis was floating everywhere, and, you know, people thinking about their people that was with them just a second ago, now they gone.
Yeah, it was crazy because like they did just take this L, but they were alive, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, we mm-hmm. lost our homies, it's so sad, but at the same time, like, at least we, you know, are here. So yeah, that was kind of awkward and sad. But and then of course everybody that had an awkward interaction with each other was looking at each other. So that was the other part of it that kind of sucked. Everybody was just looking like, oh man, I guess you made it. Hey Karen, I can't invite you back. It's saying you're not live in the chat. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, I'm coming back.
Yeah, let me know when you're in there. So then it was like the Hound was sitting with Gendry. Like, whoever did the seating arrangements
was wrong for that.
Wouldn't they though?
I think it was Sansa. I think it was Sansa because it was real messy, the seating arrangements. Like, I noticed that, like, Missandei and Grey Worm weren't in there. They wasn't even, you know, over by Khaleesi or nothing. Like, she had the Khaleesi basically sitting up there by herself with just her and Tyrion. Like, I don't know, man. It felt like the arrangements was all messed up. At one point, it was, like, so awkward, I expected Larry David to show up. Like, like, start asking about why they put the forks on the table without no napkins underneath them or something. Gendry was in there and he was looking, just scratching his neck like Tyrone Biggums. Like, anybody seen Arya?
Come on, anybody see? Had anybody seen her?
Tell me, have you seen her?
Seen her?
Listen.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
He was looking for his baby, okay? And the Hound was disgusted.
What did
he
know?
He was
through.
Everybody died. Everybody did. Everyone is dead. And you think about this little girl.
Right. He's like, listen, I know it's cool that you're alive and we all happy for you and everything, but like, you can still smell the burning flesh of our dead warriors. You might want to just chill a little bit on this, homie. And he's like, no, it's not like that. I just want to, like, you know, tell her I'm happy. He's like, oh, I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm. happy with your dick.
Right. And then Gendry is like, you know what, man? I'm out. I'm about to go look for Arya. And he goes to leave and Dany stops him as he's walking out.
Yeah, because he did the thing you don't do. You don't cross the front of the room. You know what you do? You put your finger up and you go in the backside. You know, you kind of go out the back of the church. You don't go across the pulpit.
Yeah, he walked right in front of the dais, and like all comedians, he was about to get roasted by her, and she was like, Gendry, ain't you Robert Baratheon's son? And he was like, I don't even really know that nigga.
Like, not like that. Like who?
Like, I don't know if you heard, but he tried to have me killed. So, like, we not really that cool, and we not really on speaking terms. And she was like, well, listen, I'm not saying, you know, like, I don't hold that against you or nothing, but you was a major part of this battle.
Made all that
dragon glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know your daddy tried to have you killed, but he dead now. And Gendry like, yep, he dead, so that should mean we all good. She was like, but now all his brothers are dead. So who's gonna run Storm's in his part of the you know, his part of the kingdom? And he was like, I don't know.
It's crazy to me too,
right? It's strange, ain't it? And she was like, you know what, you need to run that shit. You just got a promotion, dog. You are now the manager of Storm's End, and because I'm the real queen and I say so. And everybody was like, yeah, congratulations, you know, like, good for you, Gendry. And Gendry's like, hey, I'm a lord now. He's like, you now Lord Gendry Baratheon.
He looked happy too. That's when you get that unexpected promotion. You know, you're doing the job, you come in, they be like, you know what, I actually been paying attention.
Right. Now that didn't really get the party going, mm-mm, but it did lighten the mood just a little bit.
Right.
And then Tyrion kind of like leaned over and was like, now you know what you doing, that he gonna be loyal to you forever, and you just made yourself an ally. And she was like, you ain't the only smart nigga here,
come on.
Oop.
And then Sansa looked at, by the way, that's like such a Twitter comment, right? Like, we like he totally mansplained to her what she already had did, like, oh, now you know what you just did was smart. And she was like, that's why I did it, duh.
I'm smart.
Yeah. I've been listening, guys. And then also Sansa looked at Tyrion like she, like, with daggers in her eyes for some reason. And I can't tell, and maybe, like, y'all, like I said, I felt this way when they were in the crypt, but I think I was in the minority because I saw the chat and I don't think everybody was agreeing with me. But I think they're trying to romantically put something between Tyrion and Sansa. Like, maybe it really is just all powers, all king, queen type shit, but I don't know, man. She be looking at him like, when you're like, whenever a woman comes up to Steph Curry and says, can I have your autograph? Okay. She looks like Aisha Curry, the way that she is looking at as Tyrion, like nigga, I'm right
disrespected.
Here. Like, I don't know. Is it just me, guys?
I think I'm confused with what they're doing with Sansa, because at first it was like, I thought she was making googly eyes at Theon. Then she sat down with the Hound. I'm like, wait, what is this? And then, like, the whole thing with her and Tyrion, they doing that, like, remember we was married? Mm-hmm, oh, you didn't rape me. Ooh, hi. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it.
The bar is low for romance in this kingdom, right? Oh, he not a rapist? Ooh, what is his number?
He ain't beating bitches? Right. Ooh, girl. Oh.
Girl, I'm telling you, I heard some things about him.
But that, I think that look she gave Danny, like, she's just that bitch she don't like. And once you decide you don't like that bitch, all she gotta do is breathe in your presence. You gotta go this bitch breathe.
It's really like Twitter with our with Aisha Curry. It really is.
It is.
It's like, ooh, you exist.
Oh, this bitch had a salad. See, this is the problem. Bring up her tweets from 2011.
I bet she didn't even have fat-free drinks.
But yeah, so she don't see it for her. But I just,
at all,
I couldn't tell if it was like a weird type of jealousy or betrayal. I don't know. But anyway, Sansa looked at him like she was mad. Then Davos talked to Tyrion about Melisandre dying before he could kill her and shit. Like, I can't believe she had the nerve to just fucking die.
She told you it was gonna be taken care of.
I told her I would kill her if I saw her again, and she just really just, I guess the Lord of Light took her or some shit, man.
She just disappeared. I don't know what the fuck happened.
He was so hot. And then Tyrion complimented Bran on his wheelchair, like, oh, I like this new design. And then Bran was like, yeah, it's not new. I got it out of the 14th century. It used to be this other ruler's wheelchair and shit. So I used his design.
Yeah, and I just pissed it.
Specifically a Targaryen, and mm-hmm. I feel like whatever Bran says something, you should listen three times. So, right. You know, all these rumors about Tyrion or whatever, he looked Tyrion dead in his face. He was like, no, this was so-and-so Targaryen, his crippled son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, was he an imp too or something? Like, I don't, you never know.
Who knows?
Never know with Bran. And then
he was like, I just pimped out my ride, dog.
And Tyrion was like, well, now you're the new Lord of Winterfell. How's it feel? And he was like, I don't feel anything. I never feel. And then he was like, but I mean, you don't want to be the Lord of Winterfell? And he was like, I don't want And that was the sentence. Right. That was the sentence. That was the sentence. Won't. And
Brand is a hits blunt meme.
Yeah, every time. So, what would it be like to get high with Brand?
Oh no.
You might, man, he might make you do something to yourself. Cause like he'll, like he be talking all crazy. You like disassimilation. You jump out a window. I don't know. Oh man, he's on that shit. But,
yeah.
What was funny though is that, after he said that, Tyrion's like, yo, I envy you. And then D goes, you shouldn't envy me. Mostly I live in the past.
And, right.
And that was it. That was it.
Oh, he's a weirdo. He don't know how to just chill. And like, he's the dude you can't invite to the party because he's too woke. He don't know how to not be woke and just kick it.
Yeah, right. He make the person that makes everything weird. Everybody just stop and be like, what's wrong with him?
Right.
They be like, is he special? Is he crazy?
And then Tormund toast the Dragon Queen. And Danny was happy for a second, like, oh shit, somebody recognized me. Hey. And then she got up and was like, well, the real MVP is Arya Stark, the hero of Winterfell. And I was like, look at this magnanimous ass nigga. That's what I'm talking about, Danny. Get over here and win you some friends. Everybody started toasting, like, yes, it's on now. That's what I'm talking about. And they was like, you know, after she toasted, John and Danny looked at each other and they finally smiled.
Right.
And it was like, once that happened, everybody in the party had a permission to get lit. So mm-hmm. then, like, the music came on.
Right?
And it was a party. People was drinking.
Right.
Everybody was trying to fuck.
The hoes came out.
Right.
The hoes was like, oh.
For the 99 to 2000.
Come on. Working going on.
It was so much lighter after that moment, and I had hope, like, oh, maybe these niggas can get along. All this
I didn't know it was hoes, and I didn't know it was hoes in Winterfell, so I just wonder if people just became hoes after what they saw, and they were like, well, we almost died by these dead zombie things, so I'm just gonna be a hoe now. Like, I didn't know.
You know what, I think the hoes was always there, but they couldn't like come out because everybody was trying to fight. But they was like, you know what, they probably already had their eye. If he live, girl, that's the one I want right there.
Well, as a hoeologist, you know, I have several I have several theories on the topic. I'm glad you guys brought it up. My first theory is everybody was in the walls of Winterfell at the time, so you got, that mean you got, like,
everybody.
Right.
I get you.
You got prostitutes, you got all the wildlings, you got people from all over the place. You know, it's like, you know, when your church have a retreat, you know, that everybody gonna be fucking. And then number two, I think that near brush with death, just you know, post-war coitus is a thing that really happens in real life, like after World War II and all that type of shit. People come back, everybody be fucking. So that's what I think. That's why I think everybody was just ready to hook up. I mean, people was risking it all that night. So the party gets lit. Jamie Potter, Tyrion play a drinking game where you tell the truth. If you guess the truth about someone, you make a guess about someone. If it's true, they have to take a drink. And I guess if it's not true, you take a drink.
I'm assuming.
Tormund starts talking on the timeline, just being messy, and it was getting taken the wrong way, because he was bragging on John so hard, y'all. I mean,
and it's not like he was doing anything wrong. That's his homie. He was gassing up his homie,
right?
Tormund's the drunk. He get drunk, he want to make a toast. Like, I just want to shout out my bro John. I love you, bro. We've been there for each other. We got to, he make a best man speech every time he get drunk,
and an inappropriate one. Like, not like like, he can't stay within the lanes of like, this my man, oh my god, yo, you was out there killing the man. Like, it's gotta be a little disrespectful to everybody else around and a little disrespectful to you.
Cause that's his boy.
Right? He's like, oh man, you my man, dog. Remember that time we got them hoes in Cancun? You're like, what you doing, bro? What you doing?
My mama's here.
Like, what? How much has he had to drink? Stop. And he was spilling more wine than he was drinking.
Wasn't it though?
And he starts just, I mean, I'm not saying she should have been mad, but he starts going so hard, Danny got mad. Insecure, and I can see why, because he was like, he's strong, he's so strong he'll befriend the enemy and get murdered for it and then come back because you can't murder this nigga. That's my man.
Yes, that's my man.
He keep on fighting. He fight for the north at the wall. He fight north of the wall. Then he fought at the wall. Then he fought down south of the wall. And then, cause he called the north the south. And he was
he does.
And then he was like, and then he like got on a motherfucking dragon. What kind of crazy person climbs on a dragon? Who, this nigga does. He got on that dragon and he was motherfucking killing people. He not just the man. He the motherfucking king. He's a king. He need to be the king, y'all. The king of everybody, everything, everywhere.
And this nigga cute too. Right. Look at his hair.
Look at him. I bet this boy ain't even a bastard. He probably fucking his aunt, man. He crazy. Like, he was just spilling all the tea.
I know, be like, if you wouldn't, my boy, I'd fuck you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Right. How do we get here? How do we get here?
It's a little too far. And then they low key cut.
Calm down the drinks.
They low key cut to Danny, who is completely blown by this.
Cause she sees the love.
They did the close up of her face too. Like, so you couldn't mistake it. Also, like, is she hating? She was like,
wow. She was hating.
Right in front of my salad? You just gonna.
Right in front of my salad.
You just gonna compliment this nigga like, I don't ride dragons everywhere I go? Like, he wasn't on my dragon? Not even the big one?
Just fuck my drag. Oh, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and she. Like, she's like, so I'm just, all I'm doing is riding three dragons. One of them get killed, of course, right? I let this nigga ride the little dragon, and y'all up here giving him credit. Okay, all the credit, huh? Didn't do shit.
Maybe that Starbucks cup was there on purpose.
Yeah. Well, her name spelled wrong, because they always spell
right,
her name wrong.
Yes.
She turned into the lady from Starbucks who want to speak to the manager.
That was when John and her made eye contact and she was looking like,
can he be the Kanye to my Kim?
Oh no.
Because you know everyone,
I need you to match my dress,
right? Like, you see me in here popping flavor and dripping sauce and this is the best that I get. I mean, what is happening, everybody?
Anytime I step out, I'm popping flavor, I'm dripping sauce. They already know I'm coming through, shutting it down. I just want my man to be a reflection of that. Like, when they see him, I'll be the Kanye to my Kim.
Can you be the Kanye to Danny's Kim? And John kind of tapped out. He made the face like, oh, you know, they be talking crazy, Danny. Like, but he didn't like check nobody. So then she kind of had that moment of like, oh, well, fuck all this, then I'm about to leave. And so
Varys saw the whole thing.
Yes, he was reading the room.
Like, first of all, can I just say how much I identify with Danny in this scene? Not because of the jealousy, but they had a moment of what I like to call introvert vision, where they went to everyone in the party in slow motion having a great fucking time, and she was there in her head with her thoughts being like, I just want to go home and go sleep. What the fuck is this? And that's how I be feeling at parties all the time, where I'm like, the music too loud in this club, no one can hear me, I just want to go home. And so she got up and left. And of course, Varys was there clocking all the mess. Because he always does.
It was like an alarm goes off when people start to get messy. Here he come out, sliding out the shadows in everybody's business.
He stood up on the table like, Your Highness. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. He can't help himself, y'all. He's... Mm-hmm. We all know Varys has one fucking goal on the show, and that is...
Hey, girl, I just wanted to let you girls know that I'm a real messy bitch. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama.
Consistently. and he's seen that she was mad, too. Like, they gave this nigga all her shine. And his whole thing is he thinks about her father being the Mad King, and they think it's like a whole Targaryen, like, thing. Like... And maybe I didn't read the book, so maybe it is a Targaryen thing, but part of me kind of feels like a lot of Game of Thrones is about the deconstruction of myths. And that the way stories get told, like, look at Lyanna and, was it Rhaegar or whatever. They were in love, but in the North there was rape. In the South is obviously like this betrayal, and she was in love and all this stuff. But the real story is that they were in love and they did have a baby and all this shit. So the legend though is just stronger than the truth. And I wonder if like the Mad King shit and the whole like Targaryens are mad is part of that too. If like, it's not they went crazy, but they might have done something and then people go, well, rather than to explain their motivations, we just gonna call them crazy. You know, or maybe they are
and
crazy.
I think it's a little heavy-handed for the showrunners, in my opinion, to be like pushing her to turn into this Mad Queen. We have a Mad Queen sitting right over in King's Landing.
We don't need to
construct one.
Yo.
So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I think that it's a plot device to maybe make people think she's gonna go one way, and Varys is there to be all of us. Like, I told you that bitch was crazy. I told you. But I think what Danny, and obviously I'm speaking from the stands of the people who don't really like her. I ain't really fool with her since she Scarlett Johansson on crowd surfing on them slaves.
She was slave surfing.
She slaved, she surfed.
Come on.
And that's when the jig was up for Nicole.
She was on that surfboard, yeah. Surfing on them slaves, graining on them slaves.
I'm surfing on them surfing on your children. Like, no, ma'am, no.
No.
Sit your ass down. And now, like in real life, y'all done turned on Scarlett Johansson and Danny, so I'm a happy girl. But I think it's cheap to turn her into the Mad Queen, so I think they're throwing us off the scent of something else.
I hope so too. Like, this show is really good at misdirection like that, and it's heavy-handed, and I do feel like it's so heavy-handed that they're not gonna make her completely like crazy, but I do like that they've given her motivation to make me be like, if she did do something crazy, I wouldn't be so upset with her. So we'll get to that. At any rate, you know, she goes and leaves and shit, and Varys is clocking the tea, and none of the people were gathered around her at the seating arrangement, so she really was up there by herself in a position of power, and in the north where they're very much like, you're not one of us. So she's like, fuck it, I'm going to my room. Then the drinking game got serious. Tyrion deduced.
Turn.
Yeah.
Always does.
That's why you don't play them messy ass games. So then Tyrion deduced that.
I don't play drinking games. I drink. That's the game.
Right. You want the truth? Just keep getting me drunk. It's going to come out.
Right.
You don't have to play any games. But yeah, so they play this drinking game and it gets serious. And Tyrion says, you a virgin, and Brienne doesn't drink. Podrick took a big ass gulp though,
like, didn't it though?
He was like, we get something. And Jamie got kind of serious too, like he was like, oh, I want to know the answer. And she got up and was like, I have to piss. And before she could leave, Tormund came over. Like, hey girl, it's me, drink man, or whatever. And he was like, you know, we had that victory, we was whooping that ass, you know what I'm saying? Which one of y'all shit in my pants? And
he was lit.
He was so lit.
Such a charming guy. I wonder why Brienne wasn't falling all over herself for him. I don't get it.
Why can't she see the good in him? I'm just saying, okay?
Right. He just talked about shitting his pants. How romantic.
Listen, okay? So, obviously that was a huge turn off, but I think it was more that Brienne was really running from the situation more than Tormund.
Right.
I think on some level she's almost gotten used to his shit. You know, not that you can ever get used to Tormund, but right. It's used as, like, she did, like, here come this nigga. I guess the best way to put it, he's like that old black man that come to the family reunion and tell every woman in there how good she looking. But it's like, oh, that's just Uncle So-and-so. That's just how he.
And then he inappropriate talking about, girl, you look good. You got them childbearing hips. You look like, right. What? How the right. hell we get here?
Right. He a little over the line, but you ain't like worried about him doing nothing to nobody. Right. But it's just kind of like, damn, this nigga annoying, you know? So, you know, he was doing that shit. She got up and left and went to the bathroom. And then Jamie stood up and stopped Tormund from like even trying to follow her. And he was looking kind of concerned, like he wanted to break Brienne off some sympathy dick or something, and went running after her to the bathroom.
This scene right here was so masterful. You could drop the scene in any movie in any time period and it would have played exactly the same. Jamie jumped up like, nah, nigga, nah. Like nobody said a word, but mm-hmm. there was an entire scene that went out, including Tyrion and then, what's his name? Podrick. He had the best reaction in the whole scene to me.
Yeah, it was like Tyrion poured his wine into Tormund's cup, like, you lost, man.
Go ahead and drink it up.
Drink up the sorrows. Yeah, yeah. And then Podrick was sitting there the whole time smiling like, you want to sit down with me and talk or something? Like, I know you need to talk it off. And then, of course, Jaime went chasing after Brienne, and then it sunk into Tormund that was like Jaime was finally staking his claim. Cause up until that point, it's so funny because I don't think Jamie and Tormund had met. So it wasn't really, and this happens so often with people, it wasn't really until Jamie saw somebody else wanted Brienne like that, that he got serious. Like, oh, wait, pish posh, I think you will not, sir. And then he like walks off, and then so Tormund goes over and we see, I love the way they filmed this scene too. He like, he was like crying. And like
it was hilarious.
Can we give that actor his things? Because that dude is a
man.
He's a comedy beast in a show that's very, very fucking serious. And
yes,
he's always on comedy. He cooned it up real good. And he's like they don't show us right away who he's talking to. They just pay it off his face and he's like and then after everything I did, he just took her from me, like, and then they pan out and you see he's talking to the Hound,
right? The wrong person.
And the Hound was like,
the one person who don't give a damn,
don't right? give a fuck about what you talking about.
The Hound was like, if you don't get your hands off of me, I will fuck you up, don't touch me. And he was like, damn, like, you know, he looked kind of hurt. And so earlier a girl had smiled at Podrick, and you know how Podrick gets down. So
two at a time.
Right. He's like James Worthy at the hoe house, okay? Two at a time. And y'all can Google that, it's real. And so then when Buddy said don't touch, when the house said don't touch me, a girl looked at him at Tormund and said, you could touch me, I'm not afraid of wild things. And then just like that, Tormund was over Brienne. He was like, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. I'm gonna shake it off and move on. And a lot of people,
but I thought that was the love of his life, Rod. I thought she should have given up everything to be with that man that wanted her so badly.
Now see, that's one way to read it. I read it the complete opposite. That is an emotionally mature, healthy young man that respect,
I agree.
He respected that woman's no and said, you know what? I'm gonna move on. I cried about it a little bit. Now he was a lot faster than most of us, but he's a wildin'. As we have learned about Tormund, he doesn't get down with the notions, down south anyway. I don't think him and Brienne would have made the best couple necessarily, cause he's so unorthodox and she's so rigorously like honorable. But yeah, I think he just got up. He was like, all right, that's fine. She don't want me. I take my losses. I'm gonna sleep with this woman and I'm out.
Yeah, but this was like her 47th no, and he respected it because two dudes got in his face.
Yeah, that's when it happens. You gotta say, I mean, Joe Biden proposed to his wife 9 times and he ran, and he ran for president 10. And so it's sometimes it's the 10th yes, okay? And I think he was going for the 10th yes, but once he seen she had a man, he said, all right, I see what this is. So anyway, but I do understand, like, he was over her so fast, it's like, maybe she didn't mean that much, but I don't know. The way he was traveling across the globe looking for just that one woman, she meant something.
Right.
Yeah.
But he leaves or whatever, and, the Hound, the other girl was like, well, look, I ain't scared either. And he was like, after I finish my drink, maybe I'll give you some dick. I'm like, damn, the Hound got a burnt face and he really was fronting on her like it was a woman on Instagram or some shit. Like, I'm sorry, but Kim K's thighs a little too meaty for me, the guy who works at Lowe's. So I will not be taking any of that. Thank you. And then she was like, okay, so he finished drinking his like cup And she was like, so now you ready to get down? And he was like, no, this whole pitcher of wine is my drink, not just this cup. And he turned and looked at her, and she was like, oh, got scared and ran off. So
he did everything short of, bitch, I told you to leave.
Right. Bitches, leave. And so then, Sansa sees all this, comes over to the Hound, and she's like, she could have made you happy for a little while. And he was like, there's only one thing that'll make me happy. And she was like, and what's that? And he's like, that's my fucking business. They say the writing on this show is getting bad, but it's not. That was perfect. That was so good, because I thought he was gonna tell her, like, because it was such a, like, this is the emotional scene where he finally opens up and gives his motivations. He was like, nigga, that's for me to know and you to find out. You thought? So then she was like, looking at him, he was like, used to be a time you couldn't even look at me. And she was like, that was a long time ago, and I've seen much worse than you since then. And of course he's all inappropriate, like, yes, I heard you were broken in, heard you were broken in rough. And she was like, he got what he deserved, and I gave it to him. And he said, how? And then she said, hounds. And they both was laughing, like, I'm the hound, you killed him with hounds, my nigga,
right? No. be like you made it something, girl.
I thought they were gonna high five. It was like, that's a good one, the hounds will fuck you up. And so then they shared a laugh, and then he said, you know, if you would have left with me when I told you to at King's Landing, I told you I'd protect you and get you back to your folks, and none of that would have happened. You know, Littlefinger, none of it. And she was like, yeah, but without Littlefinger and Ramsay and all that, Joffrey, all this shit, I wouldn't be the bad bitch sitting before you. So it is what it is.
This is the scene that everybody got mad about on Twitter. I like logged in the next day like, whoa, what the hell, what happened?
Oh, for real? What was they mad about? I didn't even see.
Basically, they were saying that it turned Sansa's, like, all this, yes, I got raped 37 times and beaten, but it made me the woman I am today. And people were so mad about that.
Well, you know what? I loved it. I'm going to tell you why I loved it. That shit is motherfucking real life. You know how everyday women that y'all run and bump into, your mama, sister, cousin, friend has been raped, beat, abused, and all that shit, and been through everything underneath the sun, and she has forced to be resilient because the world won't let a woman waddle in her pain. Everybody tells you to get over it, bitch, it's done. You get over it, and people act like you're supposed to be a motherfucking victim forever. You can't have both. Either I need to get over it or not. I mean, not trying to be funny. So I appreciate her showing strength of, yes, this thing happened, yes, it broke me, but I came back. Not only did I come back, I came back a stronger woman. I learned from those situations. And if I hadn't went through that, the person standing before you wouldn't be here. And it's a lot of women that can say that for a fact. And I think a lot of times, in my opinion, when it talks about rape, any types of sexual assault, people get in their feelings about it and they get very unrealistic about it. Most women that you approach has been sexually assaulted or harassed in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It happens to most women. So I don't see what this, and not trying to be funny, what some of this fake outrage is, like, her even talking about it or discussing it is making her a victim.
Yeah, it's also interesting.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I'm not in this contingency of women, but there is a contingency of women that believe that storytellers should never use rape as a plot device because it's one of those things that they use to make the woman stronger, or they use it in service of a man. So these are the people that were upset when Sansa got raped initially, even if it wasn't shown on camera. So they've been mad about every rape in the show. And like, I'm neutral. I don't want to say one way or another. I've never been like, damn, I wish they would stop raping these women and these, I never even bat an eyelash at it. But I think in service of this story, What else could we do to resolve everything that Sansa's been through than see her get stronger or grow through it or learn from her or have it make her into the person she is today? She's like, here I am, including all that shit that I went through, and this is who I am today because of it.
Yeah, it's also interesting because you don't know who's been sexually assaulted or what until somebody tells you.
Correct.
And a lot of times people always have this assumption that the people telling the stories have never had anything happen to them. And it's really an unfair assumption because with the amount of sexual assault that is happening, you don't know. And especially the shame around it, people are not obligated to tell you shit. You know, like Common just came out and talked about being molested at 9 years old. I don't know how old he is, but he's just telling us that now. You know, the other thing it reminded me of is that episode, I don't know what reality show it was, but something like Buying a Home or something, and Delicious from Flavor of Love was on there. Mm-hmm. And the realtor or the what, like whatever the person was that was talking to her, they were talking and she kind of talked about the time she was sexually assaulted, and her husband was uncomfortable, like hearing it and knowing it for the, I don't know if it's his first time hearing it or just he didn't want the world to know. And then the woman who was there was kind of wanting her to like cry about it. Well, she was like, you know, are you not gonna, like, you're saying it's like you're not sad or like whatever. And Delicious was like, it happened to me. I get to decide.
Come on.
Like, just cause you don't see me crying doesn't mean it didn't affect me. Just because I'm not reacting in the way you typically think that someone who's had this happen to them should feel doesn't mean my experience is invalid. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean I'm not affected by it. But people have different coping mechanisms. And some people will be like, I can't, but especially since you can't control it, I'm not going to regret that this happened to me and say it's broken me as a person or I'm less of a person or whatever. And some people will say, it made me stronger. Some people will say I grew in spite of it. Some people will say, you know, this is the adversity that was put in my life from, you know, whatever religious being or whatever. I don't find that like what she said to be so like, I don't know, so like ridiculous. But I also think this show has at this point, more people that complain about the show online than who are still going to watch it. Then they have, you know, like vocal supporter. So I don't know. I treat it like case by case and it didn't feel like, to me anyway, it didn't feel like, oh my gosh, she, you know, this show says that this is the only way women can grow or something. And especially because we've seen other women deal with this and other things on the show to like become the characters they are. It definitely doesn't feel like they're saying this is the only way, you know, Cersei's on the show.
Yeah, and I don't discount any woman for feeling that way.
Right.
But statistically, every woman you know has either been assaulted or known another woman who has been assaulted.
Right.
So if we're taking these actions completely out of every story, fine. Or we use them as not plot devices, fine. But if we are, maybe there is a woman sitting out there, like it's corny, but seeing Sansa's story, knowing what she's been through and been like, you know what, this has changed me in a way that I don't quite recognize, but this is who I am now.
Right. And that's the thing. It's not to erase anybody that got a problem with it. Because obviously, right, you know, they have valid opinions and they're watching the show the same way everybody else is watching it. But I do think the idea that there's only one way to handle this story is kind of it's kind of weird. And I don't think and I don't think this story, especially with having so much, sexual assault and things like that in it, I don't think this story has ever been a safe story or presented itself as like a, you know, we won't be triggering you. We will definitely be handling everything in the, like, most, you know, like, social justice way. I don't think they've ever been like that. And 8 seasons in, like, I don't know. It feels almost like unrealistic to expect at this point for them to never, err on the other side. If you're on the side of like, this shouldn't even be a plot point. I don't even know why you would be watching this show at this point.
That's kind of funny. That's how I feel. Like, and I know that there's a people out there, anything around rape, about rape, anything associated with it, they're triggered. That's understandable. But this show has had rape in it before.
Right.
And they're going to talk about it and they're going to discuss it. So it's one of those things where if you're here, it is what it is. Like,
and it's
you don't have to be here.
And it's not just sexual assault, right? When we're talking about Sansa's story, we're talking about essentially being held prisoner in King's Landing, traded from place to place by Littlefinger. It's only with Ramsay that we're getting to that point, and I think that was just such a key point for that character. People can only see it as that, you know. but she's had a tough ass life, and this is why I fuck with Sansa because of it. Is like Sansa survived so much on that show, but it's like because she survived it and maintained her quote unquote femininity. For some reason, people don't fuck with the character. Like, she's a scheming, conniving. I hate this bitch. It's like, her tools are different than stabbing a nigga in the throat and feeding his family to him. Like, why can't her survival be as valid as Arya's survival? Why does her survival have to be, like, the bad part of the show? I love Sansa. So, anyway, but yeah, I did not know they were mad at that. I've been trying to, as you can tell, I've been trying to stay off of Twitter and out of these debates, because it's just, oh man, it drags a showdown. After they had this conversation, we cut outside, and it's basically a Lil Jon concert going on, and Gendry like they was getting rowdy, and Gendry finds,
I thought they were about to get attacked. I thought for sure at this moment they were going to get attacked because everybody was drunk and nobody was paying attention. I was like, if Cersei was a smart bitch, this right now is when I would come and kill everybody.
That would have been a swerve and a half, is her marching her army all the way up there, catching them right after the battle. But yeah, Gendry finds Arya at the archery practice range where she relaxes. And
in her downtime.
Right. She almost hit him with an arrow.
It's like, yeah, you read, this is what I do.
Yeah. And he informs her that he is a lord now and he's in love with her and he wants to marry her, and he proposes.
Damn.
Yeah. And Arya says, absolutely not. Mm-mm. Yeah. She's like, listen, you're going to make some very special lady so proud and so happy one day, mm-hmm. but not for me, baby. I'm not mm-hmm. a lady.
I've said this since season one, episode one. I ain't a lady. I told my daddy that. I told him. He was like, girl, you know I love you. She was like,
right.
I'm a player for life, dog. Mm-mm.
Right. So yeah, it was that kind of thing where I was like, all right, well, Arya never seemed like the lady type. She's not putting on a dress. She's not marrying you, Gendry. She broke you off, but it's time to move on to the next town. Like, it was cool, but that's it.
Like, I really had sex with you because I did not want to die a virgin. Thank you, baby. It was lovely.
Come on. However,
right. So yeah, I think that was kind of interesting to see the way that they handled that.
And for me, truth be told, that's why she had a big feeling that he was lying about his numbers, because she was looking like, yeah, dog, like, just don't sound right. And then he proposed, like, she really did something to him where he was like, woo, I ain't never had it like this before.
Yeah, she put the thing on him, as a virgin, you know, so Gendry was done. But yeah, and also she's a hero, so maybe it could have been a little bit of the hero thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's comfortable with all that attention, so mm-mm. She's like, I gotta get on the road, dog. I can't see myself settling down with one man.
You don't want to see me up here, because the first time somebody do something wrong, I'm gonna fuck them up, and that's gonna be it. So let me go on out here, travel the land, and be free.
So then Brienne goes in her room, she's throwing logs in the fireplace, and then she gets a knock on the door, and it's Jaime with some wine, saying, we need to finish our drinking game, baby.
I ain't up to no good.
And Jaime starts talking shit about hating the North and hating Tormund, and she's like, it sounds like you jealous of Tormund.
And he's, you mad jealous, son. You mad jealous.
And he's like, maybe I am. And I was like, studio audience, woo! And then he was all like, it's so hot in here, I need to take off my shirt. But he drunk.
What a sucker. He didn't even come in with the real. He's like, it's hot. I'm gonna start taking off all my clothes. Ooh, it's so hot in here. Ooh, aren't you hot? Like, I understand you really haven't had sex with nobody besides your sister, but you don't have to play these games with other women.
Couldn't he have like spilled wine on his shirt or something? Like, he didn't even take it to like porno level. He just mm-hmm. was like, it's hot, I might need to take my shirt off. And then he was fumbling with his shirt because he only got one hand, and
come on,
and he drunk and he couldn't do it. As then she started taking off his shirt, and he tried to take off hers, but he only got one hand and he drunk, so he couldn't do it. So then she was like, oh, never mind, I'll take my shirt off. And because she was like, what you doing? And he was like, trying to take your shirt off. And then
she was like, we'll be here forever, nigga. No, I can do this quicker,
right? And it made me think, how does he even get dressed?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, he get that shirt on when he needed to. But yeah, so she was like, you know, he looked at her and said, I never slept with a night before. And she said, I never slept with anyone before. And it was like, then you have to drink, that's the rules. And she was like, no, but I. And then before she could finish talking, he kissed her. And then she got ready to lay them 7-foot cakes all up on him, on that golden hand.
That's a long woman. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
She must have like a nudity clause in her contract, because we didn't even get to see a slice.
Mm-mm. No, we didn't. But they haven't shown anything really, even with Aria with side boob.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they CGI'd the nipple off.
A lot of people realize, since they got off the book, they've cut down a lot of shit. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of the raping and stuff people complaining about, they cut that
Well, not
out.
Just the book, though. This isn't book stuff. Even mm-hmm. if they were showing sex, you could show nudity normally.
But I
think the actors have come a long way in 7 seasons. They like, nah, I'm not getting naked on camera no more.
Right.
You know, I'm somebody now. You know, you get to do that in season 1. But, like, I'm Daenerys in season 7, and I got jobs outside of this. So, no nudity. Anyway, though, she did lay it down on him.
Slow songs, they for skinny hoes. Can't move all of this here to one of those. I'm a thick bitch, I need tempo. Fuck it up to the tempo. Pity pat, pity pat, pity pity pat. Look at my ass, it's pity pity fat. Kitty cat, kitty cat, kitty kitty cat. Pour me a glass, boy, I like my water wet.
So she laid it on him.
Yeah, she did.
I was happy for her, because, look, Tormund was not her fantasy.
Mm-mm.
Now, would the sex probably have been better with Tormund? Probably, because he give a fuck.
No.
Okay. Nick says no. Okay. Well, depends on what you like in the bed, but whatever. Nick says no, but I'm just thinking he would have.
I said yes.
He would at least gave a fuck. You know, Jamie broke her off probably some really nice, polite, sympathy penis on some, like, I'm doing you the favor. I know that this your dream and this your fantasy first time. And it probably matched more with what she wanted, and that's really what should matter in the whole thing, is what she wants.
Right.
And what she wanted for a long time, I think we all have felt it since like season 2, is to fuck Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy for her. You know, I know a lot of people was mad because they was like, it should have been Tormund, but I'm like, nigga, it's her fantasy first time. How many people get a fantasy first time with the nigga you want,
right,
in the way that you want, and all this shit? It's probably like some drunk Jamie Lannister dick, but like I feel like she's much closer to like the ideal than most of us got for our first time. So what's wrong with that? Anyway, then Danny finds John in the room by himself, and he's clearly drunk, and they have a conversation. He brings up that Jorah's probably in the friend zone in heaven now, and he's so sorry for him. And Danny like, I could never love him the way he wanted me to love him. And then they start making out, but before they can smang, she pulls away and she's like, John, and he senses the tension and looks her in the face and is like, damn, it's over, we're not gonna be able to be a couple.
Mm-mm. This is the end, baby.
Like she said, I wish you never told me. And then she basically admits that she could not handle that dinner conversation when they was all on his dick, and she was like, you know, you too good of a dude, people gonna want you to be king if they know about this shit, don't tell nobody else. And he's like, I told you I don't want it. She's like, nigga, it don't matter, it don't, like, they won't want you to win because you it's not about like fucking what you want. You didn't want to be king of the north, you didn't want to be the leader of the Night's Watch,
you like, didn't want none of the jobs,
but you getting them, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost more insulting.
She gets it particularly because she had to win over people who didn't want anything to do with her. So she knows a little something about how being a charismatic leader who proves themselves will turn people to you.
Mm-hmm. And so she was like, tell Bran and Sam to keep it a secret and don't tell nobody, and then we won't have a problem, because people will make it a problem if they know. And he's like, I gotta tell Sansa and Arya,
because that's his family. Like, in his mind, that's his family. He was like, I got to tell him.
Right, this is exactly why Magic Johnson quit. And then she was like,
the stress.
She was like, I wanted to be like it was between us. And he said, after I tell Sansa and Arya, she was like, Sansa gonna want me gone and you on the Iron Throne. And he's like, she won't. And then she's like, she's not the girl you grew up with, not after what she's seen, not after what they've done to her. And Jon's like, fuck all that, that's my family, you my queen, we can make it work together. And Danny like, I just told you how the fuck we can make it work together with you shutting the fuck up. And he was like, nah. And she left. Then they had a quick scene of Jaime being in bed awake after smashing Brienne. I don't even know what that scene was about. He just sitting there thinking like, this ain't like my sister, man. I don't know why
he got a special connection with his former lover, because you know they shared a womb, so maybe this wasn't the intimacy he was used to.
Yeah, like it was only like a 10 second scene. It was like they did smash. Then in a secret strategy meeting, they tallied the troops. They lost half the troops, and now the numbers are even, with Danny getting the Golden Company. So now it's looking more like a fair fight rather than them just running down on King's Landing like it would have been. And Missandei says, well, the people gonna find out we saved everybody from the Night King, and then they gonna join us and help. And Daniel's like, Cersei just gonna lie to them and they won't believe it, because everybody at King's Landing watch Fox News. And the only way to do it is to kill them and rip her out root and stem. And then Tyrion speaks up and he's like, the objective here is to remove Cersei without destroying King's Landing.
Because you need people, you need subjects. If you go up there and fuck shit up, that's going to spread too, dog.
I think he just protected his sister.
That too. I think it's a little bit of both.
In his homeland.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's from King's Landing. That's his sister. He's still hoping for some resolution that is in a complete denial of who the fuck Cersei is. And I don't fuck with it, man. Like, Tyrion be getting on my nerves with this shit. I don't like it. You know what I mean? He's the nigga on the team that's like, well, listen, guys, I did foul him. Like, no, nigga. Let's just play ball and win. And then we'll talk about it after the game. But, Varys Hilton brings up that the Iron Islands have been retaken by Yara, and the new Prince of Dorne is down with the team. And Danny like, yeah, it don't really matter who pledging loyalty, as long as Cersei on the Iron Throne, she gonna be like, I'm the queen. And Tyrion's like, the people don't even fuck with Cersei like that. They starving. Look, we can just smoke them out. All we gotta do is put an embargo on any food they got coming in. We burn it to death with the dragons. The people will get, like, it'll be starving. They'll eventually run up into the Red Keep and kill her ass or overthrow her somehow. And then we can win that way, you know? And John was like, if the Golden Company comes out and wants to fight us, fight the fair one in the field, we can beat them one on one with the dragons and shit. We good. But the problem with all that is that it would take a lot of time. And Dany wants it right now. She don't want no time. Sansa even was like, maybe you need to rest your troops. One of your dragons is fucked up.
That, like, all that shit was valid. She was like, look, we just gotta ask, you got to give people time to recover.
Right. And Danny was like, fuck waiting. Okay. And before she could even really like argue with her again, John jumped in and was like, hold up, Sansa, I pledged the northern forces to honor our promises and our allegiance to Danny. What you command, we will obey. We are down to ride for Danny. And I love that Arya and Sansa share the look here, like, this nigga really, wow. Like,
and Danny had that old shit eating look on her face, like,
told you. And so then when they go to leave the when they go to leave, you know, before they break down the plan, John and Davos are going to take the King's Road without the Northern troops. A smaller group is going to ride to White Harbor and sail from there to Dragonstone, which is the old place where they were all held up. And then from Dragonstone, they're going to go to King's Landing. And Jaime is going to stay in the North as a guest of Sansa, because he's smashing Brienne. And then they cut to Sansa looking at Brienne, and Brienne like kind of nervously looking away.
Ain't move all of this here to one of those. I'm a thing,
bitch. I need a tempo. And after they said this, John goes to leave, and Sansa and Arya like, we need to talk outside.
Yeah, Arya hit like, hold up, homeboy, hold up. Like, I don't like this shit right here. We need to talk.
Yeah,
she really looked like, if you make the wrong move, I will fuck you up right here.
And so John goes out to meet with them by the face tree, and Bran is there too. And they had this conversation that's basically like, why the fuck do you keep fucking with Danny? You know we don't trust that bitch. And then John is like, but nah, she cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she could come to the cookout and everything.
They was like, nah.
It was like, no, not to the cookout. And then Arya kind of breaks ranks with Sansa when John is like, listen, if it wasn't for her, we'd be dead. And it's a very pertinent point. And I think, for the people that hate Sansa, this is the thing that they really hate about Sansa, is that she gives no real consideration to the idea that they really would be dead without Dany and them dragons, right, and her troops. Cause she is very, every time it's brought up, Sansa is very much like, yeah, of course. Okay. And, anyway, I don't like the bitch. like,
but this is a valid point, dog. Like, you wouldn't be here.
She paid our rent. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But the rent.
Kim Kardashian getting people pardoned.
Right.
Yes. I don't care.
Oh, she want to be a lawyer and free more black people from prison. That's nice, but
that's cute.
Did you see she was rocking cornrows on her Instagram? Fuck her.
Yeah, you see she got another butt injection. Fuck that bitch.
Right. So they ended up. Arya broke rank and was like, "Nah, I fuck with what you saying, John. You ain't wrong. But I still don't trust Danny." And John's like, "If you only trust the people you grew up with, you won't have any allies." And then Arya was like, "Yeah, I don't need allies. I'm good."
Allies, what?
I don't know if you know me. I can fucking put a face on to kill everybody in this motherfucker, so
I don't care nothing about allies.
I'm good. And then they're basically like, we're family. And John's like, I never been a Stark. And then they were doubled down like, but you are brother, we love you, you a Stark, I don't care what they say. Which is funny because, you know, Sansa used to treat them like shit when they was kids. But it's like, you a Stark, you like, don't listen to them niggas, you one of us. And he's like, yeah, I'm not talking about that.
Like, I'm really not a Stark, like, for real.
And then Bran's messy ass chimed in with like, it's your choice.
Right, like I'm not saying shit.
But look, by saying it's your choice right there, you are making him have to admit he has a secret that he either needs to tell them or not tell them. So now he gotta tell them. You know what I'm saying? That's some bullshit. He said it in front of her. It's your choice. Oh, come on, Bran. Well, damn, tell him, Bran. So he was like, well, listen, y'all got to keep a secret. And they like, depending on what it is. He was like, well, I'm only going to tell you if you could. That's the fucking point of me swearing y'all to secrecy before telling y'all, because this shit is a bombshell. And they're like, all right, we'll keep a secret. He's like, Bran, tell him. And then they cut away. But we know that Brand probably,
I feel like if you tell somebody, I have to tell you something and you can't tell nobody, and their first response is, I don't even know what it is yet. How I'm gonna tell you? I'm not gonna tell somebody. You probably shouldn't tell them.
Yeah. Like, your secret must be that important, dog. And it's not because they're a bad person or they wrong, but it's like, maybe what you're about to say is that fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm like, yeah, I gotta tell you a secret, man. I don't want you to tell nobody. Depends on what it is. It does depend on what it is. And if you had to say that sentence before you fucking told them the secret, guess what? It's probably one of them secrets. Don't tell them.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And I know Arya, like, true to her word, like, you'll never hear Arya say another motherfucking word about that again.
Yeah, I don't think Arya would tell necessarily, but like I said, they both was kind of like, I depend on the secret. But yeah, so he tells Bran to go ahead and tell him. Tyrion talks to Jaime about staying with Brienne, and like, so you really fucking with Brienne, huh? And Jaime's like, go ahead, say something slick like you do be saying. And Tyrion's like, I'm just happy for you. I'm happy that you happy, and I'm happy I'm gonna be able to talk about you being the short one in a relationship now. How I feel now, all these years all these years of short jokes, how does it feel? You got to climb that tree. I was expecting him to say something like way nastier than that, but shout out to him. And then like I thought he was gonna be like, at least you ain't fucking our sister no more, but
no.
he kept it
that cool. That pussy you don't share a bloodline with him, right? Don't
right. He's like, but instead he asked him, he's like, so what's it like down there? I was like, why would her vagina be any different because she tall? like I think he was still fucking. I think he was still fucking with him
because
remember how people used to ask him what his dick was like, and he used to be like, it's a dick, man, leave me alone. Like I feel like that's what it was. He made it sound like, did the tall pussy hit different? And then we hear out of nowhere, I knew you were fucking her, and they cut over, and it's Bron and Bron got that crossbow coming in there.
He came, I was looking like, how the hell did you sneak past everybody? Nobody recognized.
He just walked up to them. He could have just killed them right there.
Nobody, no alarm system, nobody. I guess everybody's so fucked up, even the security took the night off.
Yeah, if I had saved it earlier, I think Bron's theme song would be getting to the money. Everybody back.
Come on.
Same old Nick from the block. Like he cares about one fucking thing.
Money.
His money. And he walked in there and was like, so your sister said if I kill y'all niggas, she gonna give me a river run. And I mean, what's up? And they was like, oh, you ain't gonna kill us. And he punched Tyrion dead in his motherfucking nose.
He was like, the hell I won't.
And then Jamie was like, well, what you want, dog? And he was like, Tyrion's like, I think I broke my nose. Bron's like, it's not broke. He was like, how you know it's not broke? He's like, cause I done punched so many people in the nose. I know what it's like when you break it. Now calm down. Well, let's negotiate. You told me if somebody offered to kill you, you would offer me twice as much. Your sister's offering me River Run. Was twice as much as River Run. And Tyrion was like, Highgarden, because nobody's in charge of Highgarden anymore, we give you that. And Jamie's like, what, you can't give a cut purse a Highgarden? And then that nigga shot a bow at Jamie's head. He's like, he's not gonna kill us, look how he talking. He shot a bow at this nigga's head. It was like, I only need one brother alive to negotiate.
No,
right.
Both of y'all ain't got to be at the meeting.
Like, come on now, don't get fooled. And then he was like, all right, well look, we will give you Highgarden instead of River Run. And Jamie was like, how you even know you're gonna get River Run? You trust Cersei? And Bron, this line, I missed it the first time, but I laughed so hard the second time, when he was like, I knew your sister was dead the second I saw those dragons. I'm getting down with the winning team, dog. And it did make me think about that scene when he saw them dragons, and he was like, the fuck? This shit real? Nah.
I thought y'all made this shit up. The hell is this?
Nope. Oh my God. I cried. Oh man, real tears. So he was like, yeah, he was like, yeah, it ain't even about that. I just want my shit. And they was like, well, cool. Then I hope you gonna come along south and help us fight the war to secure this motherfucking Highgarden for you. He was like, oh no, playboy. I'm out that game.
Mm-mm. Y'all, I've done that too many times. Fuck that.
That's a sucker's bet. Just get me the money when y'all win. And until then, don't die, and he Homer Simpsons into the bushes.
Yeah, he does, right out that door.
He backed out there on that crossbow, like, and he was like, and my killing days might not be over, so don't fuck this up, because I could be anywhere with this crossbow, okay? And he dipped. And
you see how I walked up on y'all tonight,
right? As he walked out, I'm getting to the money. the Hound and Arya met up on the road going towards King's Landing, and they were traveling on their own, and she was like, you going by yourself? He was like, not anymore. Since you gonna came through, appears I got company. And he was like, why you ain't traveling with everybody too? So you know, you the hero. And she was like, I don't really like being a hero, and I've never much had care for them. And he was like, well, I got business to take care of, and I don't plan on coming back. And she said, I don't either. And that made me worried a little bit, because I wonder what that mean. So she don't mean she ain't come back to win.
She gonna die. She gonna die.
Right. Like that. It's two episodes left, man. Everybody need to stop playing. So then Danny checks on her dragons and to see if they can fly. And of course, Drogon can still fly, but the hurt one, he flies, but he's limping around like Joel Embiid. And it wasn't too smooth.
And oh no. Oh no. Still need that 4 to 6 week recovery time. And that was Sansa's point, like, hey dawg, people got fucked up. You got to give people time to recover, get their energy back. Like, if you gonna do this right so we can do it the first time and we don't have to fuck around.
This is why our show and our recaps is so much more fun and better than other people's recaps. Because we could be out here just promoting agendas, picking sides, and being like, no, Sansa the smartest one, Danny's stupid. Danny's the smartest one, Sansa's stupid. But you know what? They both had points, and they both fucked up at different times.
Correct.
Sansa had a point about them waiting.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't crazy to be like, we almost just fucking died. Everyone is fucked up. Your dragons are fucked up. You might want to face this woman at full strength. And Danny's like, the longer we wait, the stronger she gets. We gotta go, 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 go.
Yep.
And so when I seen that dragon limping, I said, no, baby. Like, oh, what are you doing? Like that. And she was looking at it like a coach that just like got a player with a concussion plan, like rub some dirt on it. Just like, she was smiling and shit. Like, yeah, he flying. Like, no, fucked up.
Don't you see him limping, baby?
When he flapped that left wing, that shit was like, oh. Like, he's trying to dab on him, man. Oh man, it was a bad omen.
Yeah, and you know what? This goes to show that if they would have worked together, the strategy would have been better. But you know, versus they could have collaborated versus everybody's at each other's throats.
Right.
Because like I said, they both was right. Like, you do need to go full force. You do need to do it as soon as possible. But at the same time, it's not unrealistic to be like, because Sansa thing was like, look, your man fucked up too. Everybody's people fucked up. Like, everybody is fucked up. And you want to push them, and people are human. You will cause these people to turn against you if you continue to push them like this.
She don't care. So then Tyrion approaches Sansa as she's watching the dragons fly. And Sansa's like, why are you siding with Dany anyway? And he brings up all these reasons, like a good relationship between the North and South is key to peacefulness in Westeros, and y'all ain't gotta be best friends, but why are you provoking her? Cause like, you know what I'm saying? And then Sansa's like, you know what? You afraid of her, ain't you? And he's like, a good leader does inspire a little fear, but she was like, nah, you like scared she gonna fuck everybody up. This isn't like, cause she's nobody to mess with. This is more like, cause she gonna fuck y'all up. You keep playing with her. And Tyrion's like, look, I believe in Dany. And then he sees Sansa's face, cause she's, you could tell that the secret with Jon is fucking with her. And she wants to tell Tyrion so bad. And I said, nigga, it hasn't been 10 minutes.
Hot minutes.
You didn't keep that secret for shit. He went to leave.
Secret still good and warm.
Right. The secret hasn't even had the sugar in it and stirred. Okay. It is bubbling hot. And she turned around and said, hold up. I got something to tell you. What if she not the only one? What if it's somebody else, someone better for the throne? And I said, God damn, she done toast. They gonna get John killed. I don't know what they doing. So then John leaves, says goodbye to Tormund. Tormund's taking the wildlings back home. After he takes them back home, after winter passes, he's gonna take them to Castle Black, and they're gonna stay there. That's home now. And then John tells Tormund to take Ghost with him. And I did see a lot of people were mad about this on Twitter, because John was like, Ghost need to go with you because the South is no place for a direwolf. And I guess that was wrong or something.
They were mad because John didn't pet the dog.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so then Gillian, Sam, okay, I'm sorry, man, but
well, all y'all are Peter people all of a sudden. What's happening here?
I low key just don't have it in me to fight these niggas online. I see the people that do it. Good luck to y'all. Those of y'all that choose to die with honor. I'm not doing it. Not for no TV show.
And the showrunners aren't helping, so they see this backlash and they responded and was like, well, it's a CGI dog. He can't really pet the dog. And everybody was like, we just saw a giant pick up Leanna Mormont, so he couldn't have pet the dog.
Right. Right. It's just, like I said, I'm glad I'm not in that part of Twitter. I really just be like, oh, y'all mad? Okay, cool.
Right.
Like, y'all don't have real problems. You know what? Nope. I'm not going to do it. So then Gilly and Sam come over and say goodbye. And then John sees Gilly is pregnant. And, if it's a boy, they're going to name it John. And John low key shaded the fuck. He was like, I hope this a girl.
Yeah.
Like,
that'd be a girl.
He don't want nothing. He don't want to be your baby namesake. He don't want to be the godfather. He don't want to be the king. Mm-hmm. What happened to Gilly's baby? Did her baby die in the crypt?
I think she got a son, and then she got the pregnant baby. So I don't think.
But I didn't. Baby. I haven't seen the baby.
You know what? I don't think they cut below her hand.
I see. Okay.
When I rewatched it, I was looking for the baby, and it looked like she was holding a baby's hand, but you don't really see her. They never cut out far away enough to see the baby.
Right. Cause the baby got to be walking age by now.
Yeah, and you know if it was dead, that would have been a thing they mentioned. Like, they not killing little Sam and just. These niggas right. Just be like, all right, then, player, I'll see you later. So John's like, bye. And Sam says, you the best friend ever. And Sam over explains how Kim and Gilly had that baby. He's like, well, you know, it's cold and you can't read all the books and there's not much to do. And he's like, Gilly's like, I think he know how babies is made. Okay. And so then on a fleet of ships, Missandei and Grey Worm hold hands like the Obamas leaving the White House.
Aww.
Yeah, like, we made it. Them crazy white people ain't get us. And then Tyrion, message. And then Tyrion and Varys Hilton have a debate about Jon's lineage, and Varys says Jon's claim is better to the throne, and it doesn't matter if he don't want it. The people gonna want him because he's just a good dude. And Tyrion is like, well, maybe they should get married. And Varys is like, they can't because in the north, people gonna have issues with Jon fucking his aunt. And he says Dany won't want to share the throne and that he's worried about Dany's state of mind, which is why he always be looking at Dany all sideways. And then while they're having this conversation, I'm sorry, what'd you say, Nick?
She there.
Oh, Nick, did you say something? Oh, hold on, you broke up a little bit. Can you say that again?
I think I got kicked out and they put me back in.
Okay. Oh, okay, so you back now. All right.
I think.
Okay, I see you. I hear you now, too. So then, what happened? Oh, so then Dany takes her dragons out flying. And this is such a great swerve because triumphant music started playing.
Mm-hmm.
They had just dropped anchor at Dragonstone. This is important because some of you niggas don't pay attention and y'all didn't realize that, and I don't want to call anybody stupid, but it was a pretty important detail for what happened next.
She ignored the fuck out of it.
But they dropped anchor in Dragonstone and she took her dragons for a flight around home, and as they went over this pass on the left, on the right side, you know, which is pass where you drop anchor, it was apparently a small fleet of ships from Euron Greyjoy outfitted with the latest in harpoon technology, and they motherfucking started popping shots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what happened when people, you don't listen. Like, she one of them managers and supervisors to be in the meeting, and people bring up like crucial shit on what's gonna happen, and they yada 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 because they know everything, but they actually wouldn't pay no attention. And then when shit go down, people, why didn't you tell me? We told you.
Well, why you say she wasn't paying attention? That's what I want.
I don't think she's paying attention because they told her about this. She yada 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 did. I'm gonna tell you, well, I think she yada 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 did.
What do you mean told her about this?
They told her about this spot. Like, they was like, hey, this is where they're gonna be. She yada yada that, and if she would have been paying attention, she wouldn't have flown her dragons over in that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't remember them telling about this spot though, Karen.
Didn't they tell her at the meeting that they were at this certain area of the They did tell her that they was protecting a certain area and she didn't pay them no attention. Didn't they tell her that?
Nah, they didn't tell her that, I promise. I saw it twice. They didn't. What I'm saying, the viewers ignored a certain thing. Danny. So Danny goes flying on her dragons thinking we home. And in this little cove, like kind of hidden off to the side, I think Euron was he was ambushing her. He had a fleet of ships. And he ambushed her, and a bunch of spears flew into Rhaegal, the fucked up one, and he died. And then we had to watch them.
This is the real one, baby.
And he fell down.
Oh no, Ricky!
He fell down into the water and died. Ooh. And Khaleesi couldn't believe her fucking luck. And I can't front y'all. I'm not saying I'm the smartest man in the world. I'm not saying I'm smarter than everybody watching this show, but you can check my timeline. I tweeted at the fucking meeting when they said we gonna sell Dragonstone. I said that'll be the perfect time for motherfucking Euron to show up, like surprise bitch. And when she looked down to see who shot her baby, guess who it was, y'all?
Look at her right now.
This nigga, people say they don't like him and they think he's just a plot device to make it seem like Cersei, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. He is good. He's so good. What are y'all watching that y'all don't like this character? He might be one of my favorite characters, dog. I started off disliking him, but he's so disgusting at being a bastard. And he's cooning so good in every scene. He don't even dress like the rest of them. He dressed like he from now. Like, they cut to this nigga with that. He cut to him with that motherfucker. He had that coat on and that motherfucking shirt. He was standing around that cannon like, yes, I did it. I shot your dragon. And then she went with, she was on Drogon like, we about to bust back. Fuck that shit. We riding. And man, every ship in the fleet had that cannon on it. And they started shooting them spears. Man, she had to turn around and get her mind right, dog. She flew all the way in the back of the back. She was like Bernie Sanders at the MLK rally. She was way in the back. And everybody was like, the fuck is happening? And right as they were trying to figure it out, motherfucking Euron, they showed the camera from their angle too. He took that motherfucking cannon and turned that shit down and pointed towards the ships, and I was like, oh no!
Oh no. Oh, y'all about to die.
Y'all way less mobile than the motherfucking dragon. Y'all dropped anchor. Y'all can't go nowhere. Man, they shot them ships to smithereens, dog. Oh my god. Oh, the only thing could have made it better is cutting the Euron and him doing like an evil laugh. He was having the time of his life, though.
Win it all.
Man, I really feel like as an actor, that would be the character you would want to play. Like, there's a lot of good meaty roles on the show, but like, The character you're on is so fucking over the top. It's like he's from another show. Oh god. Anyway,
he's really a pirate. He's a straight up and down pirate. Mm-hmm. An evil pirate.
He is the messiest. No, just so not royal, not regal, unrefined. Oh. And so most of the people survived an ambush. Like pretty much no one really like died, but as they washed up on shore, Grey Worm realized Missandei was missing. And he had told her to get off the ship right away. That's some love. He was like, nope, baby, you get off the ship now. And she was like, but what about, he's like, now!
Like, no, you got to go, baby.
The rest of us might die, but you can't die, baby. So she got off the ship, but she was missing. And King's Landing, Euron returns. And of course, he tells Cersei, who's just smiling like the Cheshire Cat. I think that's the right thing. Just smiling. And he's like, hey, girl, I fucked that dragon up, girl. I wish you could have seen it. Oh, I fucked him up good. She's like,
I would have took photos if I could have.
She's like, you sure it's dead? He's like, dead as hell. Okay. And then they panned over at the end because she was like, you know, you going to rule the sea and I'm going to rule the land and our child will rule them all, because she's always pawning off them incesty seas on other niggas. They lucky. It's not a, if it was a Maori in Westeros, the game would be fucked up for Cersei, but there isn't. So then,
And you know one thing I love? Why she had them, Golden Girl, metal shoulder pads on? She rocking them hard too.
Right.
Yeah, she was. I was like, woo, I see them shoulder pads.
So then they pan over and they got Missandei in chains, and it's right as Cersei's like, breakers of chains, my ass, and walks past Missandei, whose hair is all fucked up because, you know, she had got her hair wet.
Right. She's like, the last fucking place I planned on being.
Her twist out looked all matted. Her eyebrows with every which way. I was offended. Right. They didn't have her looking right for eight, however many seasons she's been in, and now her twist out just toe back.
It really shows you how hard black women have to work to. Come you on. Know, to keep up their appearance in Westeros, all the products is made for white ladies, okay? That extra hour she spends in the mirror every morning, it's appreciated. And, of course, King's Landing ain't have no shea butter or nothing.
Mm-mm.
So.
They have Pert Plus. You can't do shit with that.
So then, at Dragonstone, they have a meeting. At the meeting, Grey Worm, like, I'm going to kill all them niggas. All your enemies will be dead. We'll breach the gates, and we fucking them up. And they pan over to motherfucking Varys, who's like, now remember, I told you a long time ago, if I felt you was gonna make a mistake, I would tell you to straight your to face. Your face, look you in the eye, because you made me promise. Well, I think you about to fuck up. You go in there and kill all them innocent people and shit at King's Landing, then you Jason gonna be everything you fought to not be,
which is valid. That is 100% valid. These people have nothing to do with it, and word's gonna spread that you are motherfucking crazy, and who would want a queen like that, dog?
And then Danny's like, but it's my destiny. I'm supposed to rid the world of tyrants, and these niggas in the way of destiny. And so then Tyrion's like, well, it's gonna be at least a fortnight before Jon shows up with the troops, so in the meantime, let's go talk to Cersei and see if we can get her to surrender. And Danny like, it's not gonna work, she won't surrender. But I'm gonna do it because it's gonna be good so people can know who to blame, because I told her to stand down. And when the fucking sky falls, she said something like, when the sky falls upon them or some shit, like some Shakespearean dopeness, it was like, they'll know who did it. And I was like, oh shit. And Varys
hit him with that Ezekiel 25:17.
And they shall know my name is the Lord.
Come on.
And so then Varys and Tyrion have another conversation. It's basically the same conversation from earlier, except this time Varys does say, like, yo, I'm picking Jon, and he'll be a better ruler, and I serve the realm and not Danny. And Tyrion, like, you gotta pick a person at some point. He's like, no the fuck I don't. What about the millions of fucking people that's gonna die if there's a war, or if somebody's in charge, it's the wrong person? And Tyrion's like, man, it's treason. And he's like, well, don't say you hadn't thought about it. He's like, thoughts is one thing, treason is another. And he also brought up that Jon is a man, and that'll make it more acceptable to people in Westeros for him to be the ruler. And I did see somebody on Twitter that was upset about that, being like, this show took us so far, and then they would say something like this. But it's a character saying it about the world, so I don't find it to be like the show's commentary on this is the right thing to do, but them being like, in this world, there still is patriarchy. So
just like the real world, yes.
Yeah, you know, not that it's right.
Right.
But I hate that Varys is the one saying it, but he was basically like, I'm not saying it because I agree, I'm saying it because it'll be easier.
And you're, like you said earlier, Rod, Tyrion stayed trying to save Cersei. And, you know, even right before they went into battle, like, remember, our goal is not to destroy King's Landing.
Right.
And then just now, like, we have to give her a chance to surrender. Like, no, she is who you thought she was.
Exactly. And so, I was, the only thing I was surprised is that I thought Varys would have brought up the idea that daddy can't have children. Because that's been a big theme for all these seasons. And I thought that he would bring it up just to be on some, like, and also what about an heir to the throne and shit, but he didn't. So Tyrion brings up the marriage proposal, and at this point he's like, Varys is like, no, she'll just bend John to her will, tell him what to do, and he gonna fall for it because that's what he do, and I'm willing to do this and protect the interests of the realm at great personal cost to myself no matter what. And he, and then Tyrion goes, so what happens to her, please don't. And Varys is like, all right then, player, and leaves. So he finna get
you
the
got
plot.
A choice to make.
Yeah, he getting to getting ready to get the plotting and scheming as he does.
Mm-hmm. He gonna get fried.
Yeah, my thing is he's destined to die in Westeros, but I guess he gonna feel like it's a nobility to his death if it's in the service of stopping Dany's ascension to the throne, because he considers that to be the worst thing that could possibly happen, because he thinks she's not of sound mind.
He was like, I've been around a long time, I know what it feels like to have good kings and queens, and I know what it feels like to have terrible ones.
It's just so weird, because it's so the 2016 election to me, because it's like, we can't trust this woman, she crazy, she a woman. Like, of course this, she'll be a terrible ruler, she's got a vagina.
Yeah.
And it, like, I love that Tyrion was like, Joffrey had a penis, he was a terrible ruler.
He was.
And, mm-hmm. So anyway, Varys is on some bullshit. Jaime saw Brienne and Sansa talking. They give him the update about the ambush and the dragon is dead. So then Jaime wakes up the next morning and leaves King's Landing. And before he can leave, Brienne wakes up. She really came outside in her house coat and slippers.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to convince him to stay. And she like, look, you a good man, you not like your sister, you don't have to go back, you different. And then he did me the greatest honor of all, which is reading himself a filth.
Yes, he did.
He's like, I ain't shit, I pushed that kid out the window, tried to kill him, now he can't walk for the rest of his life, I murdered my own cousin just to get back to Cersei, I murdered everybody in Riverrun just to get me some Cersei, I ain't shit, and I'm out. And he got on his horse and left, and Brienne was crying like his golden hand must have vibrated. It was crazy.
Oh
yes, it was that crazy.
So the first time I watched this scene, I was very triggered, because I happen to know a little something about a man jumping in and overcommitting and then realizing that he doesn't have the range. Mm-hmm. And then it hurt because of all the stuff we've seen Brienne go through. Like, of course, I didn't expect anyone to get a happy ending, but it was right. Like, our dog Brienne. And I viewed it the way where I was like, damn, he really can't stay away from his sister. Like, that twincest is real strong. Nothing. And then a friend of mine, Tara, pointed out to me that she thinks that he was lying because she thought that he was leaving to go, like, try to kill Cersei. So then I watched it again, and the actors are doing such an amazing job in this scene. I think he knows that if he tells Brienne, like, I'm about to go ride on this bitch, Brienne's getting her armor and jumping on a horse and going with him.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
And I think the only way he can get close enough to Cersei to kill her is by himself.
Yep.
Right, because if she goes, it won't go down like that.
I agree with all of that, but I would like to add a different point that also made me here for all of this. Jaime don't deserve no Brienne.
No.
So, like, everybody, I saw everybody on timeline looking at it the other way, like, no, this is terrible. They got her crying over this man. I'm like, Yet he the one need to be crying. This nigga ain't shit.
And he know it. He is almost one of them. It's not you, it's me. Like, that's what he literally was like. I'm not a good person. Mm-hmm. My sister is petty. I'm petty. You know, I'm not gonna tell you I'm gonna go fuck up, but my goal is to kill that bitch.
I don't know when the fuck people started looking at Jamie like he was like redeemed, but
right. No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Fuck him. That's crazy.
Ultimately he did her a favor, but like every woman who's been ghosted, right. You don't see it as a favor at the time.
Right. Like, it takes time to heal.
She's hurt now, but nah, man, he wasn't the one. And I'm not even saying that on some like, cause I had a joke where I was like, you know, Tormund would, but really, real talk, like, just in general, she deserves way better than that. Fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then back in King's Landing, they negotiate with Dany, and they got like, it looks so pathetic. They had like 100 Unsullied. And I don't know what the fuck happened to the outside of King's Landing. I guess they farmed all that shit, cause it's the desert now. The ghetto. Must have been that new construction. And on their wall, they had all them fucking harpoon guns. So, they was ready. And
then she look at them like, tear it all down. I won't see him coming.
Yeah, this time Dany ain't bring her dragon. So then Dany was like, I'm sorry. Both parties want the other surrender. They sent Tyrion and Qyburn out to discuss the terms. And of course, they don't agree. And if Dany doesn't surrender, they're going to kill Missandei. Which made me go, oh, so she's dead.
And I think the whole time I was like, Cersei gonna fuck around and let one of them harpoons go and just kill her brother right there on the spot. Like, they ain't gonna talk to each other.
I was like, why? Like, one, I hate that they had this meeting, but two, why the fuck do you think Dany would surrender from Missandei anyway? Like, I don't know what mold they have in the organization, but that's some bad information. Nothing about Dany says I will give up my dream for that motherfucker. Y'all might as well kidnap John or something. Like, she would let anyone die for her dream. You know, maybe if you got the dragon. Maybe. But it was, anyway, that was a dumbass plan. And it absolutely was not going to work. All right. So then, after, at the meet, Tyrion is like, listen, Qyburn, this shit ain't working, dog. I'm trying to save the city from burning. And Qyburn was like, I'm only a mouthpiece for our queen. And after that, Tyrion was like, I'd like to speak to the real manager, and walk right past his ass. He's like, well, okay then. Bye.
Since you the mouthpiece.
Right. And he walks up to the wall. There's a little posturing where Cersei pretends she's gonna have her archers kill him, but then she relents. And then, cause she's just so fucking hateful and evil.
Ain't she though?
And then, she fucking, he basically yells at her from the bottom of the wall. And he's like, hey, look, I know you don't care about your people. Okay. I was like, that's a hell of a place to start.
But that's true.
He's like, and why should you? You hate them and they hate your ass. But I know you're not a monster. I know you because I seen it. You always love your children, more than yourself, more than Jamie, they father, more than anything. And I beg you, if not for yourself, for your child, your reign is over. But that doesn't mean your life has to end. Doesn't mean your baby has to die. And I was so upset they didn't cut to Euron's face trying to do the math. I wanted them to cut to Euron counting on his fingers like, nah, one, two.
How did you know?
How would he know that she was pregnant and he been gone for 6 months? I don't, But they didn't. But man, I would have loved that moment. So then Cersei goes over to Missandei and says, any last word? Now the time. And I was like, oh no. They about to kill our baby. Oh no.
I like everybody else. They did not make it to Atlanta. They end up 85 and got a detour.
I love how everybody says Atlanta when they say they want to go to the beach. I was like,
cause that's a black place.
It's like, they ain't gonna never make it to Atlanta. I was like, Atlanta ain't got no damn beaches. They're not going to Freaknik, y'all. No, they going just, to the beach.
We just want the black Mecca.
They was going to like Jamaica or some shit, man.
Barbados, Bahamas.
The Turks and Caicos. Okay. I never been, but they was going to be. And then when she said that, I could just feel it. I said, oh no, not my baby, anybody but my baby, y'all. I knew she was in trouble when they put her in Cersei's hands, but oh my god. And she goes, Dracarys were her last words. And then Cersei motioned towards the mountain, and the mountain came and chopped her motherfucking head off.
She said Dracarys. What she meant was, burn this bitch and everybody in this motherfucker to ash.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess you could say she was heads over heels in love, because
oh no,
she fell in love and lost her head, Karen. They always say that happens to people, and that was what happened. So
I really wish she could have kept her head on straight.
Mm-hmm. I thought she had a good head on her shoulders, but not anymore. Mm-mm. So this for you, Masandi.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time that made a laugh away from bad. I thought we get to see forever, but forever's gone away. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
We will miss your twist out. It was immaculate.
Come on.
Your flawless makeup routine in a land that seemed harsh and dry.
Come on, who go do Danny's hair?
The only woman that scissored her way into a man's heart on this show. I seen Grey Worm. Grey Worm was in that crowd like, take me with her, Lord, no!
He had to turn his head. You mean somebody that's a hardened soldier that looked deaf in the face, but he had to turn his head.
Not my baby, it was supposed to be me! Why?
And you know what he said? I'm gonna fuck everything up.
Oh.
And Danny turned around and stomped away like somebody stole her bike. She was
right.
Like,
she was like, I can't believe they put the wrong name on that Starbucks cup. Fuck this place. I'm never coming back. Oh.
1-star rating. The service was terrible.
Danny walked out of there like the way I walk out of Popeye's when they like, we ain't putting no more spicy down for the night.
Oh, you want no more spicy?
For the rest of the night? She did everything except the Yo 70 Sam grumbled to herself like, rasm. Like, she was so mad. Oh my god.
Low key, for like 2 seconds, I thought when she said your car is the dragon was gonna fly overhead and just clap everybody.
Okay,
but
okay.
Then it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. See, will the dragon listen to her? But it didn't happen.
Listen, this is what I wanted. When Cersei came over and said any last words, I wanted her to use her arm to pull her arm in by the elbow and jump off that motherfucking wall with Cersei. Now you got a show. Now you got a motherfucking show. Cause then everybody be like, what the fuck's supposed to happen for the next 2 weeks? And now everybody's right. Head is blown for the rest of the, oh my god. And then you can flip it with the last two episodes being like, I don't know, Euron trying to take the throne or some crazy shit. Like, you know, or the fight is between now Danny and John and them. Like, is Danny suitable for the throne? But I wanted a swerve, man. I didn't want, like, this is so predictable. Like, it's so predictable. Like, the black woman dying in service of white feminism, TM. Like, anyone could have wrote this. You know, I see somebody in the chat saying that's too easy. I feel you, but dog, this way more predictable than what I'm suggesting. Like, that shit, we've seen this 1,000 times. Like, it just sucked. I mean, I'm not saying that, it doesn't make sense in the story. I think it makes complete sense. It's not like I was like shocked. Mm-mm. But it just kind of sucks that, you know, the one half the black people on the show dead now, and it happened in a way that we was just kind of like, oh, not like if Grey Worm would have died in battle, we would have been like, that sucks, but we would have understood.
Right.
Like Miss Sandy getting kidnapped, and then I was mad at Tyrion. And people thought I was tripping Nick, cause I was, but I was like, to me, Tyrion got her killed. And they was like, no, yeah, she was gonna kill her anyway. But think about this. Ilaria's still in that goddamn dungeon.
Right.
And that nun's still in that goddamn dungeon too. Presumably alive unless they show us otherwise. She will hold and torture somebody rather than kill them cause she's that petty. But they gave her a chance to make a spectacle of killing Missandei, so of course she did it. Cause it's the fuck she do. I was so mad he tried to talk to her for the 87th time. Like this time she was gonna get it. Over there looking all sad. No, think about your child. She don't care about that shit.
Yeah, and the thing that really hurt me was because we were just starting to get, I drink wine and I know things, Tyrion back.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, he about to, if anything, call her a raggedy bitch, like, kill me, ho. You've been trying to kill me for 2.5 seasons. Like, cuss her out, do something. But he, like, trying to appeal to her humanity. Cersei doesn't have any humanity. What are you doing?
Her and Arya are some of the two characters that stayed consistent since season one. She ain't been shit. She got people killed. She will continue to kill people. She don't care, dog.
Yeah, I'm so mad. Oh, someone said, what happened to the Black Pirate? Yeah, that's Salador Sahn, and he got that gold from Davos and peaced the fuck out and said, these are white people problems. Mm-hmm. That's low-key. I know everybody has their faves. He's low-key my favorite character ever on this show.
And he on the other side of the equator.
If I could be somebody on this show, it's him. Because he was like, oh, I got you finally paid what you owe? No, I don't want to fight in your war.
Right. And I think Tyrion is using that little bit of whatever Cersei has for him, that she spared his life these 2-3 times. He thinks that extends to other people. That don't extend to nobody. No. She was going to kill Jaime. She was going to let the mountain kill Jaime.
And he thinks loving her monstrous ass kids is somehow like akin to like extending that love to everybody, and that makes her not a monster. Like, no, that doesn't, because that's still some level of narcissism, because she loves those kids because they're extensions of her and her brother. Like, they're the ultimate extension of her family and herself. So it's not a genuine love she can extend to other people. She was mad when Tommen and Joffrey were about to get married. She didn't even flinch when Tommen jumped out the fucking window. You know, the last time she was really hurt by the death of her kid was Joffrey and Myrcella. But that's it. Like, she's just a vengeful, petty, spiteful motherfucker. And I'm so mad that they had this powwow, man, or this discussion. Because I'm like, they're not going to fucking agree.
Tyrion gonna die. I love Tyrion, but I feel like Dany gonna execute him to make an example out of him or something.
I'm so ready for him to go. I don't care no more. I know that's people's fave. I don't care. This is like the fifth time he tried to talk to this woman. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga is stupid now. He got to go. God, he made me so mad. And I know it's low-key because she a black woman, but come on, man. This was a dumb way to right. die. She didn't have to die. This was, like, people mad at the showrunners. I'm like, I feel y'all, but I'm mad at the characters making these decisions because this is what should have happened in this situation. Now, I do wonder about if they have a mole, who the fuck would think Missandei would be the person she would give everything up for? Cause to me, that was such a like obvious thing she wouldn't do. You know, like, I don't know. That part was kind of weak, but so yeah, that was the end. I do have questions for next week or whatever. Like, where's Yara?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, they know she took the Iron Isles back. Have they communicated with her? Can she help in this battle somehow? It definitely needs to be a two-prong attack. Somebody got to fight this naval fleet if they're going to do a land war. I feel like Grey Worm's going to catch so many bodies next week. It's just going to be ridiculous. He got to.
Also, the Red Witch, the Red Woman, talking about green eyes and whatever, Dany's eyes are also green.
I saw that too when they closed up on her eyes when she was leaving. I said, oh shit. I don't know, dog. The game is the game at the end, dog. This is so good.
Ideally, Arya kills Cersei wearing right. Jaime's face, which means she had to kill Jaime ass too. So that would be for me. I don't care what else happens. If Cersei could get it by Arya's hand with a little cherry on top of her wearing Jaime's face, I'd be done. I'd be happy.
And for those of y'all that love Jaime, I think we can make a compromise. All right. I don't fuck with Jaime on any level, but if him and Arya cross paths and he voluntarily says kill me to take my face, I'll let it go.
I can see him doing something. I can see him be like, I can't get close enough to her, but I know you can.
Yeah.
Take my life and do
take
it.
My face.
Yeah.
I'll let it go. Straight up. I'll let it go, dog. Same way I let the Theon shit go. Cause I'm a reasonable person. I got my agendas and everything. But at the end of the day, if a nigga want to give his life up for the cause, I mean, that's the best thing you got left to give. All right. Cool. So, yeah, Jamie, get your face up and then let Arya get that killing in and, you good in my book, bro. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What y'all looking forward to next week, Karen?
Ooh, I'm looking forward to see, how Danny's going to retaliate. I'm looking forward to see what's happening, with Sansa and all them, you know, cause they back in the north and I'm pretty sure it's getting ready to go down. And they get ready to have John rallies, and everybody's gonna go around and start collecting votes. And so it's gonna be interesting to see how it appears when they get back, because I don't think it's gonna be the same. Because words like that spread, and she gonna be like, "Nigga, why did you say it?" It's gonna be a problem between them.
What about you, Nick? What you looking forward to?
Amelia Clark was on one of them late night shows and she said episode 5 was gonna kill us. So I'm a masochist. Kill me dead. I wanna see the Clegane Bowl and I just wanna see, like, I'm not in a rush for a bunch of resolution. We've gotten 2 great battle scenes. We've had a lot of great acting. So everything else is gravy for me. The only must have is the Clegane Bowl. Like, I need to see the Mountain and the Hound face off.
I think we're going to get that.
Yeah. One thing that I find interesting about the Clegane Bowl is I wonder what swerve they're going to give us. Cause they have pumped this up as the Mountain versus the Hound for so long at this point. It won't be as straightforward as just them two niggas fighting, I doubt, you know? So I wonder what the swerve is gonna, like, is the Mountain gonna get fucked up and Arya's gonna have to help? Is, you know what I'm saying? Are they gonna have to, I don't know, double team this nigga? Like, I just wonder what it's gonna be. But I mean, maybe it is as simple as just the Mountain versus the Hound and they just fucking go at it. Either way, I'm good, but I do want to see the Mountain die. Yeah, and for me, what I'm looking forward to next week, fire. Cause I am so mad at this point, and I know people think this is gonna make Danny a crazy person and an unsympathetic character to go and roast all them King's Landing people, but I don't give a fuck. Burn them to the ground. I don't care. Burn all of them. They shouldn't have came in the walls then. Fuck all of them. They seen her beheading Missandei. They see these motherfuckers. They see her antagonizing the Dragon Queen. They knew what they was doing. Should have left town. I'm sorry, but yeah, I think maybe the last 2 episodes will probably be it'll probably be Danny burning everybody and getting on the throne, and then after that they will tar and feather her as the Mad Queen, and it'll be like, how do we get her off the throne? Because obviously she killed all them innocent people, and going by their morals, that'll be a bad thing. But I don't know. Once they kill Missandei, I'm kind of on her side. Burn all those motherfuckers. So.
Right.
All right. That's it for this week, man. We'll do y'all's feedback on Saturday like we've been doing lately. Mm-hmm. Thanks for everybody that listens live in the chat. Thanks for everybody that checks us out. Thank you to Nick Jew for coming here. Check out her podcast.
You.
What's the Tea? It's a great podcast. I listen to it weekly and we love it.
She does it with Reggie.
I want to say I am so honored that you guys asked me here to do the last season. I was gonna ask and I was gonna beg and do whatever I have to do, but I'm so happy that it's a short season. Y'all have some heavy hitters, and I thank you so much for having me in the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, no doubt. It was so crazy because we already had our guests in mind when the season started, and so far we've gotten all of them, but it was only 6 episodes. So, you know, I felt bad for people that were like shooting their shot or whatever, but I'm like, unless a nigga called me like 5 minutes before the show, like, I can't do it. I'm like, I mean, ain't nobody gonna get the gi on. So I'm sorry, everybody, but, you know, I'm kind of not, because I get to talk to some great people. We've had some great episodes. Next week, yes. Next week, our guest will be the crew from the Castle Black podcast, which is a For All Nerds podcast. Mm-hmm. They also review Game of Thrones over there. So we'll do that. And of course, the last week, season finale, we cannot fucking finish the season without these guys. Hot Fire Starter will be the guest. Wouldn't be a Dim Thrones without those guys. So, you know, that's gonna be the shit. I cannot fucking wait for that episode. But I haven't been able to wait for any of these episodes. I look so forward to talking to people about this show. So
same.
All right, y'all. We will talk to y'all next week. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Yeah.